Vendrán a clase locos de contentos. En el Club Junior aprenden inglés mientras se divierten. Infórmate sobre las clases de nuestro Club Junior en el 91-133-5832 o en grupobaugam.com.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
Look, no excuses.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. This is Fitz. This is No Excuses. And we were just talking about common mistakes in our own languages. For example, there's a lot of problems, mm-hmm. right or wrong.
People usually say, habían.
I'm saying in English.
In English.
There's a lot of problems, right?
People is, she don't.
No. But in English, there's a lot of problems, right or wrong. There's a lot of problems. Incorrect or correct?
There are a lot of, I would say,
more people say there's a lot of problems. Also confusing things like, even there are less people.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of there are fewer people. That's a common English mistake. Also common mistake, and even journalists writing. The amount of times, wrong. The number of times. Amount is for uncountable.
Yeah.
And times, in this case, is countable. So you would say, wait a minute. Time is uncountable, correct? Yeah. But times, meaning occasions.
You know, when Elizabeth King was dead, passed away.
Wait a minute, was she king or was she queen?
Queen, yeah. Because I was thinking in Charles.
Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth passed away.
Passed away.
Some journalists in the cover of the journal, they said...
Newspaper, you mean?
Yeah, or magazine.
Magazine.
Okay.
Magazine. Yeah.
The cover said, we loved you, ma'am, M-A-apostrophe-A-M. And the journalist said, te quisimos, mamá. And ma'am is not mamá.
Yeah. It's madam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Madam. Yeah. Ma'am. That was what. So apparently, if you're a subject of the Queen, no, I wasn't. But if an English or British person met her, they opened up by having to call her Your Majesty at first. And then subsequently, they had to call her ma'am.
In the King's Speech, film, there's a scene that she was in the logopedist with the previous king, and the
logopedist.
Yeah, a logopeda. I don't know the language therapist.
The speech therapist.
Yeah, the speech therapist, and she was waiting for her husband, and the therapist wife was there with her having a tea, and the woman said, how shall I call you? And she said, yes, ma'am, as in palm.
Yes, yeah.
And in Spanish, the translation was, ¿cómo puedo llamarla? Simplemente, señora. So you miss a lot of things in the translation.
You do, and sometimes they even make mistakes. I've seen in professional subtitles and films, the person says Domingo, and they write, or the person says Saturday, and they write Domingo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Common mistakes, even in our own languages. Okay, let's start with a little bit of translation, the translation booklet. This is the book I recommend more than any other book to people because it improves your fluency. And I was reading about something the other day. Well, we have a teacher, Spanish guy, but speaks English like an Englishman, which is another thing we'll talk about. They'd say, I want a native teacher. I said, do you want a good teacher or want a native teacher? No, I want a native teacher. It's not a guarantee. I can walk out of the street here and I can find, I can go to Benidorm and I can find 1,000 Giris and maybe zero will be good teachers because it doesn't matter. It's everything in life is attitude, not aptitude. Mm-hmm. Everything. And some of our best teachers here are Russian. Some of them are Irish. Some of them are English. Some of them are Bulgarian. From the Czech Republic, some of them are South African. It's not about where you're from, and a native isn't a guarantee of a good teacher. But
and many times, as a student, I have taken a lot of training classes with different teachers, and in the first minute, you realize or you notice something special in that person.
I think maybe,
even if he's he I think or
for me,
she
it's
is Spanish.
Maybe it's actually. I think it's about 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about 15 seconds. We have a girl who's going to start teaching German for us very soon, and she's from Spain. But she went to a German school here. She went to university in Germany, and she's so good that she taught German language and literature in a German high school in a town there. So she must be outstanding. Mm-hmm. And I saw her CV and I thought, wow, because of course they would say, no, we need a German person. We've had German teachers here, been good and some not so good. And I called her, I arranged a Zoom meeting with her. And within the first 5-10 seconds, I thought, yes. Yeah. Ask me why.
Why is it?
A few things. First of all, as soon as I got in touch with her, she got back really quickly, within minutes. And every contact I've had with her has been a response within 3 or 4 minutes, which means a very organized and quick person. Secondly, there's something Richard Vaughan always told me. He said, when the person has a sincere smile and energy, it's an unbeatable combination. And not a fake smile. Mm-hmm. Not like a fake Hollywood smile. I'm talking about a sincere smile. When they smile, when you as a student struggle, you get it right. And the teacher's face lights up. Mm-hmm. How do you say their face lights up?
Que se ilumina.
Yes. I see it here with we have a teacher here called Tanya, an English girl. Fantastic. Her parents are from Mauritius. And I see her, she helps us out on Saturday mornings as a backup teacher with the junior classes. But she comes and helps us to greet the little kids, and she taught them last year. And when they see her, these little 4-year-old, 5-year-old kids, they go, Tanya!
Yeah.
Because her dedication, her sincerity, and she knows all their names. She calls them petal. What's petal? What's a petal?
Petalo.
Yeah, part of a flower.
Yeah.
It's a very common English thing. Hello, petal.
Oh.
Yeah. Hello, chicken. In the north of England, the men call each other duck.
Pato.
Like here, ¿qué tal, tío? Like your friend. Duck. Mm. Duck. Yeah, funny. Okay. So, let's do a little bit of translation. Creí que tenía el inglés dominado.
I thought I had my English mastered.
Well done. Very good. Now, take away the my.
I thought I had English mastered.
Good. And now switch around mastered in English.
I thought I had mastered my English.
Without my.
I thought I had mastered English.
Yeah. And now with invert English and mastered.
I thought I had English mastered.
Yeah.
Okay. You can
the
see
the last
both.
One for me actually sounds the most elegant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I had English mastered. Yeah. Todavía tienes mucho camino por recorrer. No, don't forget todavía.
You still have a long way to run, to go.
To go, again? Okay.
You still have a long way to go.
Very good. Sobre todo con verbos y preposiciones.
Moreover, with verbs and prepositions.
Yes. Okay, another version of moreover. It's very... Moreover is not used too much anymore. Maybe it's more like contracts and things like that.
Overall? On top of... Essentially? Especially? Especially with verbs and prepositions.
Good. No sabía que makeup tenía tantos usos.
I didn't know makeup had so many uses.
Good. How many can you think of makeup?
And makeup, the thing you put in your face.
Yeah. On your face.
On your face, to make up a relationship when you are angry with your friends or family. To make up a story, to invent, and
also what you would say in English, to recuperate.
Yeah.
Somebody may make up, and many more, yeah. Verás que hay centenares de ejemplos como ese.
You'll see there are hundreds of examples like this.
Ese,
like that. Like that one, okay. You'll see there are hundreds of examples like that one.
Very good. Me rindo.
I give up.
Yep. What's the difference between give up and give in?
Give in, you let it go, and you give up, you stay away or something.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they're even interchangeable. This is, yeah. Te dije que iba a ser difícil.
I told you it was going to be difficult.
Very good. Me dijiste que querías un reto.
You told me you wanted a challenge.
Very good. Te lo advertí.
I warned you.
Very good. ¿Sabías que no sería un lecho de rosas?
You knew it was going. It wasn't going to be.
No, no sería.
You knew it was going.
No sería.
It wouldn't be a bed of roses.
Yes, I'll say it again.
You knew it wouldn't going to be. No, it wouldn't be. You knew it wouldn't be a bed of roses. A bed of roses.
Good. This reminds me of my father. He would say things to me like, "Hey, buddy, you know, into every life, a little rain must fall," is a beautiful expression in English. Into every life, a little rain must fall. Meaning, no matter how good your life is, there's always going to be good days and bad days. But he would say to me, life isn't a bed of roses. Mm-hmm. And money doesn't grow on trees.
And I always say
and
that.
And the world doesn't revolve around you, which was, and now, of course, I appreciate this. When I was 16, and when you're 16, you think you know everything, I thought, bah. But you get older, you think, yeah.
And many times I think to myself that if you have a bad stage or period in your life, that means that you are alive. Because not everything is a bed of roses.
Yes, yeah. Aprender un idioma requiere sangre, sudor y lágrimas.
Learning a language requires blood, sweat and tears.
Good, say it again. Not because you made a mistake, but because people need to hear this. It is hard.
Yeah. I have to think it. I can remember.
So learning
a language requires blood, sweat, and tears.
Good. Now replace requires with a more common verb.
Needs. No, takes.
Yes.
Okay. Learning a language takes blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes, which is true. Tienes que estar encima de todo.
You have to look over everything.
Okay, I use on top of.
You have to be on top of everything.
Well done. No puedes bajar la guardia.
You can't release your guard.
No, literally, bajar.
You can lower your guard.
Almost.
You can lower your guard.
Yeah, which comes from boxing. Tienes que demostrar agilidad mental.
You have to demonstrate mental agility.
Good, and again?
You have to demonstrate mental agility.
Good. Now, use a more common word than demonstrate. It's correct, but a more common word. Yes. Good again.
You have to show mental agility.
Very good. No sé si estoy por la labor.
I'm not. No. I don't know if I'm on it. Up to it. Up to it.
And how do you say la tarea?
To the task.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I.
No, no lo sé. No sé, sorry. No
I
sé.
Don't know. I don't know if I'm up to that task.
The task.
The task.
Again?
I don't know. No, I'm not sure.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm on top of, up to that task.
The
task. I don't know if I am up to that task.
The
task, sorry. I don't know if I'm up to the task.
Good. And I will replace task with it and take away the.
I don't know if I'm up to it.
Yep. Anda, anímate. No te desanimes.
Come on, cheer up. Don't get down.
Or don't get discouraged. Again? Come on.
Come on, don't get
down. Come on, cheer up.
Come on, cheer up. Don't get down.
Don't get discouraged. It's fine, but I want you to say discouraged. Yeah. Come on.
Come on, don't get...
No, don't forget cheer up.
Come on, cheer up. Don't get discouraged.
Good. Pero hay tanto que aprender.
But there's so much to learn.
Very good. No lograrás nada si abandonas ahora.
You won't get anything or you won't achieve anything if you give up now.
Very good. ¿De verdad crees que soy capaz de aprender todas estas cosas?
Do you really think I'm capable of... Capable. Do you really think I'm capable of doing all these things?
Aprender.
To learn all...
Capable of learning.
Do you really think I'm capable of learning all these things?
Very good. No, almost, but careful of your I'm.
Do you really think I'm capable of learning all these things?
Good. Por supuesto que sí.
Of course I do.
Entonces, seguimos adelante.
Then we...
Now use let's. Let's. Yeah. Entonces, seguimos adelante. Entonces, sigamos adelante. Sorry.
Let's go on.
No, you don't forget about entonces.
Let's go on then. No.
Use the verb to move.
Let's move on then.
So then let's move on.
Then let's move on.
Good. Ahora es la hora de la verdad.
Now is time to...
I use moment.
Now is moment, the moment of truth.
Good, and again?
Now is the moment of truth.
Very good. No quiero volver a verte desmoralizado.
I don't want to see you again demoralized. I don't want to see you demoralized again.
Tienes mi palabra.
You have my word.
Bueno, pues allá vamos.
Well, let's go.
Well, then.
Well, then, let's go.
Very good. Well, then, yeah. Well, then, here we go.
Well, then, here we go.
Very good. Okay, vocabulary book number 5, list number 16, acústica.
Acoustics.
Valoración, insurance, for example.
Appraisal.
Appraisal or?
Assessment.
Yes. Célula.
Cell.
Good. Galleta.
Biscuit or cookie.
Good. And what's a biscuit in the United States?
It's a kind of bun, panecillo.
Savory, yeah. Very. It was very, my favorite American author is John Steinbeck. I mean, I love American literature especially. Even, I would say I love American literature more than Irish literature. Novels, not poetry. And Steinbeck, it was the food of the poor people. In the 30s in the Depression, like the grapes of wrath. How do you say the grapes of wrath?
Las uvas de la ira.
Yeah. And it was biscuits and gravy because it was very cheap. Mm-hmm. It was very cheap. You could make it effectively, I think, salt, water and flour.
And the shape is the same as a scone.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's softer.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is funny, when the Irish went to America first, because now we know these words because of you know...
Globalization.
Yeah. But when the Irish went to America first and someone said, oh, would you like a biscuit? And they were thinking, ah, so it's something sweet. And they gave them one of these. Yeah. And they'd never heard the word cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agradable. Like an experience.
Pleasant.
Okay.
Enjoyable.
Very good. Profundidad.
Depth.
Very good. Vivienda.
Dwelling. Housing.
Yes. Housing. Yeah. Cuestión a debatir. One word.
Subject?
How do you say pañuelo? Like paper?
Issue.
And if you go to the United States again and you say, excuse me, do you have a tissue? Mm-hmm. Most Americans will say, I'm sorry, what? What do they say?
They say handkerchief or Kleenex.
Kleenex. Yeah. Pulmones.
Lungs.
Yeah. And here's an example. If you say, I'm always saying to people, if you're not sure of the word, if you don't know the word, try the Latin translation. Because if you say to most English people, he has a problem with his pulmons.
Yeah.
I'm sorry? He has a problem with his pulmons. Most English-speaking people will say, ah, with his lungs. Because we do say pulmonary embolism, for example. Yeah. Búho.
Owl.
Yeah. What is the word búho in Spanish? The cure for, in terms of pronunciation. If you remove the B and add a D.
Wood.
Yeah. O-H-A-O-D. So búho menos B. Mas de
wood.
Yeah. Temerario o muy imprudente.
Risky.
Stronger.
Restless. Reckless.
Reckless. Yeah. Because, for example, in Britain and Ireland, they're for specific crimes for driving. Careless driving means you probably get a fine. Reckless driving might mean you killed somebody because you were driving like a lunatic. Yeah. Barco de vela.
Sailing boat.
And you could also take away the ing sound.
Or vessel, can you say?
You could, or remove the ing from sailing boat.
Sailboat.
Yeah. And there's a beautiful, this came to Cork many, many years ago. It's a race. It might even be around the world. It goes on for a long time. It's called the Tall Ships Race. Have you ever seen it?
I saw the America's Cup.
No, this is even better. Okay. Because these are old style ships that are, mm-hmm. I don't know how high they are, but maybe... maybe 100 feet, and they're really elegant. It's beautiful to watch. Escopeta.
Gunshot. Shotgun.
Good. And what's a shotgun wedding?
Sorry?
What's a shotgun wedding?
The penalty.
Yeah.
And
this is what people used to say.
The bride is pregnant. Yeah.
And in terms of transport, what does riding shotgun mean? If someone says to you, I'll go shotgun. What does that mean?
Maybe you go through a tall highway?
No.
No.
The person who sits in the passenger seat at the front.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll go shotgun.
Yeah.
Because in the days of the stagecoaches, the person sat at the front with a gun to protect the driver and the passengers. Yeah. Patrocinador.
sponsor.
Yeah, this is one of my favourite things when the Champions League. I don't watch soccer very much. I used to when I was a kid, but I find it really boring now and they're all billionaires. But when they do the ad, the Champions League music, patrocinado por Ford. It's Ford, not Ford. Camiseta.
T-shirt.
Good. Pura sangre, like a horse.
Thoroughbred.
Almost.
Thoroughbred.
Bred. Thoroughbred, yeah. That horse is a thoroughbred. This is something Richard says about our teachers. Los pura sangres, the thoroughbreds. Yeah, the thoroughbreds. Traicionar.
To betray.
Very good. Merecer.
To deserve.
Here's a good way of remembering betray, right? What's the second letter of the alphabet?
B.
And how do you say bendeja?
Tray.
And?
Betray.
Yeah. Merecer.
To deserve.
Very good. What other word does deserve remind you of?
To serve.
Okay. Or? How do you say postre?
Ah, dessert.
Yeah. These are called memory hooks. Mm-hmm. These work in, especially for languages. Especially if you're a visual learner, which I am. Mantenerse, you too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mantenerse como con el ritmo.
To keep up with.
Well done, well done. Predicar.
To praise. No. To preach.
Yes.
To preach.
Yes. Great song by Dusty Springfield, who Dusty Springfield was an Irish woman, actually. That wasn't her real name. Son of a preacher man. Son of a preacher man. Really good song. Sospechar algo.
To smell fishy. No.
Okay. Or to smell?
A rat.
Yes. So we just finished some obras. Maybe I shouldn't tell this story, but anyway. We finished some obras some time ago. And because the builders were here every day, I became very good friends with the builders. And when they were finishing, they had to clean out a lot of stuff. And one day I was walking past the rubbish and I thought, oh, something is dead in there. Mm. Now, I don't think it was a rat. I think it might have been a mouse. Mm. But it's incredible. Something so small can make such a bad smell. When my father, before he got into politics, he worked for how many years? Maybe it must have been, it must have been close on 20 years before he got into politics, for a man who became a very good friend of his too, Willie O'Brien. And he was in Ireland in the 60s. It wasn't easy to be an entrepreneur, but he did. This guy left school at age 14, very intelligent, but his family didn't have money. He was from a family of nine. Bought a truck, an old truck that was probably 30 years old when he was about 15 or 16, and started a business. You know, one of those people. And my father left when he left secondary school. His father had recently died, and I think he was a bit like me when I was younger. He was later ambitious, but I think when he finished school, he thought, okay, I'll be close to home. I'll look after my family, my sister, my brother, my mother. I'll get a good, safe job working for the county council. How do you say the county council in Spanish?
Para la administración, in the sense of para la comunidad.
Yeah, or ayuntamiento, mm-hmm. Right? And he worked in a store. Now, we use the word store in English because it wasn't a shop, but he worked with a yard, kind of like a nabe. Mm-hmm. And builders would come and they would buy and rent materials because it was from the county council. And he was, I suppose, how old was he? Maybe he was 24, 25. And so this man started to come in and started to do business. And he would come quite often and he would say, you know, I've just started a business and I'm looking for someone really good, you know, somebody who's a good worker, somebody who would be responsible. You know, I'd pay the person well. And do you know of anybody? And he kept asking my father. And there was an old man working in the same place. And so my father went to the old man after some time. And he said, do you know anyone who wants to do this? And the old man said, you fool. You fool. Who do you think he's talking about? He's like, I don't know. He said, you.
Yourself.
All you got to do is say yes. He said, what are you doing here in this place? You know? He said, this guy, you go places with this guy. And so he did. And they built up a very, very good business together. And this man, Willie O'Brien, always drove a very nice car, right? And in Ireland, you know, at this time, a lot of people didn't have cars. And nice cars, you know, were unusual. And so one day, they would do some business in Dublin. My father would go. And so Willie said, take my car. So he had a brand new Woolsey. Now, Woolsey is spelled Woolsey. They don't exist anymore. Well, the British made some beautiful cars in the 60s, and then in the 70s, they destroyed their own automobile industry with strikes and bad quality, but they produced some really beautiful cars. Rovers, you know, with beautiful interiors. I mean, Jaguar survived, but of course, none of them are owned by... Jaguar is now owned by... Is it owned by Ford or is it owned by BMW? I can't remember, but the British motor industry died, really. But in the 60s, in the 40s, they were producing beautiful cars. So he had this brand new Wolseley, and my father thought, okay, with a V6 engine. In Ireland, there was none of these. And my father liked cars, and he said, oh, great, and long trip to Dublin, fantastic. And he got in the car, and he started to drive. Now, there was no motorways in Ireland at that time, so it was, you know, it was a bad road. And he was like, what? There's a smell. Bloody hell. And it was so bad. He was like, I'm going to actually get sick here. So after about 10 minutes, he had to stop the car. And he was thinking, there's something dead in here. This is, I mean, awful, awful. And he checked the boot. How do you say the boot?
El maletero.
Yeah. He also then said, oh, you know what? Maybe there's a dead animal. Maybe a pigeon was killed and it's inside the engine. He looked in there, nothing. And he started searching. And then under the seat, he saw this package. All right. And actually, the story, we'll stay with us, folks, and I'll finish the story after the break.
Si tienes un smartphone o una tablet, no tienes excusas. Descarga ya nuestra app de Vaughan Radio y podrás escuchar nuestra radio en directo, enviarnos tus tweets, conocer nuestra parrilla, acceder a nuestros podcasts y enterarte de todas las novedades de Vaughan. Aprende inglés en cualquier momento y en cualquier lugar con la app de Vaughan Radio.
¿Aún no conoces los Vaughan Trivia Nights? Well, you're missing out. Te lo estás perdiendo. Júntate con tus presentadores favoritos de Vaughan Radio y tus compañeros para pasar una noche llena de retos, risas, premios y buen rollo. Y por supuesto, en inglés. Tendrá lugar el 5 de octubre en Real Madrid, calle de Amaniel 23. El Quizmaster será el mega crack, el mismísimo Guy Williams.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Presentador de Western Civilization. Vaughan Trivia Nights at Real Madrid.
Completely out of control.
Si los profesionales de su empresa no comunican eficazmente en inglés, su empresa no necesita clases de inglés. Su empresa necesita una solución y la necesita urgentemente. Muchas son las empresas españolas que despilfarran el dinero contratando clases de inglés a diestro y siniestro. Café para todos y resultados para nadie. Dominar el inglés requiere enfoque, esfuerzo y un plan. En Vaughan Empresas tenemos un plan. Un plan hecho a medida para su empresa. No nos interesa vender clases. Nos interesa conseguir soluciones. Y para ello, tenemos un apasionado equipo de profesores formados meticulosamente en el método Vaughan. Llama al 911-335831. 911-335831. Su empresa necesita una solución y la necesita urgentemente.
All right, it's time. The kids must be outside already, so let's open the door.
Yay!
Whoa, these kids are crazy.
Este curso tus hijos se volverán locos por el inglés. Tráelos a nuestro Club Junior y vendrán a clase locos de contentos. En el Club Junior aprenden inglés mientras se divierten. Infórmate sobre las clases de nuestro Club Junior en el 911-333-5832 o en grupovaughan.com.
¿Me estás diciendo que no tienes 7.884.008 segundos? ¿Que no tienes 131.400 minutos? ¿No tienes nada de ese tiempo para recibir clases de inglés con horario flexible y adaptadas a tus necesidades? Cursos trimestrales de Vaughan. 911-333-5833 o grupovaughan.com.
Nunca vas a hablar un inglés perfecto, ni lo hablo yo. Tengo mis momentos elocuentes y mis momentos menos elocuentes en mi propia lengua materna, que es el inglés. Así que repito, nunca vas a hablar un inglés perfecto. Ahora bien, Si quieres tener un perfecto dominio de los entornos de comunicación en mi idioma, algo muy diferente, vete a Bowentown. Allí, entre angloparlantes de los más variopintos, avanzarás 1,000 kilómetros en confianza, convicción y aplomo. Dominarás los entornos de comunicación a pesar de un dominio aparentemente imperfecto del inglés.
I was telling a story about my father. So I made one mistake in the story. If you're just joining us. So, like I said, my father worked before he became a politician. He became a politician when he was exactly 40 years old. But before that, he worked for Willie O'Brien, who was a legendary person in what we call plant hire. Plant hire is what is the hire and leasing of heavy equipment. Mm-hmm. So, for example, a lot of ayuntamientos, county councils, were clients of his, okay, and building companies and so on. He was a fantastic businessman and a really interesting person who was a big part of our life as kids. And like I said, a very typical story. He left school when he was 14. Not because he wasn't intelligent, he was extremely intelligent, but he was from a family of nine. I think his father had died. He was one of the younger ones, and as often happened, I'm sure his mother said, I can't send you to secondary school because at that time you had to pay to go to secondary school. And she said, I can't send you. And so he bought a truck. I think he possibly lied about his age to get a driving license, bought a truck, which was probably 30 years old, and set up a business with one of his brothers. But his brother wasn't moving fast enough for him. So this guy, Willie, never stopped moving. And my father and himself were both similar. They were kind of small, stocky men, stocky.
Como robusto.
Yes. And they walked fast and they moved fast and they drove fast and they slept 4 hours a night and, you know, they enjoyed life, but they had loads of friends and they worked like crazy their whole lives. So Willie was coming to the place where my father worked. My father worked in as a sales clerk, kind of. How do you say a sales clerk?
De vendedor, como agente de ventas.
Yeah. And, you know, it was near his house. His father had died recently, so he was there to take care of he wanted to be close to home, take care of his mother and his brother and his sister. And this man kept coming in. Do you know of anybody who's looking for a job, who might want to work for me? And my father said, I don't know. And an old man there said, you idiot, you fool. He's talking about you. All you have to do is say yes. And he said, yes. No interview, nothing. Okay, good. Hand in your notice, 2 weeks' notice, whatever it was, and start with me. And he gave him a car. That was a big, big thing in those times. A Ford Anglia estate. What's an estate car?
No idea. Una berlina?
No. I think you say wagon. No.
Ranchera.
Ranchera. So one of those. And you know, this was very, get a company car. And so my father took to the job like a duck to water. You know that expression?
Sí, como si nada.
Yeah. And so he worked for him for a long time, and then he met my mother, and they got married. And I think this happened maybe when my father was probably 35 or 36. So his boss, Willie O'Brien, always drove a very nice car. And this man was employing about 300 people. In 1960s in Ireland, this was a big thing. And he got a beautiful Woolsey, which is actually spelt Woolsey, but Woolsey, right? And with a V6 engine. Again, nobody in Ireland had a car with a V6 engine. And so Willie said to my father, you know, I want you to go to Dublin tomorrow to have a meeting. And he said, take my car. And my father said, oh, great. He'd like to drive this car. And he said, but yeah, there's, I don't know. There's some kind of a strange smell in it, right? And my father got in and he said, there's a smell. And he said, after 5 minutes, he said, oh my God, this is overpowering. His eyes were streaming. How do you say it's streaming?
Que estaban lloriqueando.
Yeah, and eventually he said, okay, I gotta stop. And he searched the car, top to bottom. He looked in the boot.
En el maletero.
How do you say boot in American English? What does an elephant have?
Trunk.
Yes. And he thought, oh, you know, maybe it's a dead bird inside the engine. looked inside the engine. He looked under the bonnet. How do you say bonnet in Spanish?
El capó.
How do you say capó in American English?
Bonnet? No. Hood.
Yes. Nothing there. He said, okay, it's inside the car. And he searched under the seats, and eventually under the driver's seat, his hand found something squishy.
What?
How do you say squishy?
Como pegajoso.
Yeah, wet. And he said, oh, bloody hell. And, the smell got even worse. I'm actually almost getting sick thinking about it. And he took it out. And so what it was, his boss, maybe a week before, had been driving home late one night, working all day, 14, 16 hours a day, and got some fish and chips from a place in the middle of Cork City called Lennox's, which is still there, the best fish and chips in the world, no doubt. And put it under the seat because he hadn't finished it and smelt. And so my father drove on the whole journey to Dublin with the windows open. Got to Dublin, rang Willie. I found the smell. Oh, good man, what was it? Bloody fish and chips under the seat. Oh, jeez, I forgot about that. God almighty, yeah, yeah. And even though this man, and he had a habit of saying, yeah, 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 like, yeah, yeah. Always drove beautiful cars. He would have a beautiful Mercedes later on with a sunroof. Now, he worked in the construction industry, pretty much. And my father said he had this beautiful Mercedes at one point, brand new, 1 week old, and drove into the yard of the company with two huge, long plastic pipes sticking out of the sunroof and bags of cement inside the car. And my father, why wouldn't you get one of the lads with a van to pick? No, I was in too much of a hurry with this beautiful. So he'd always have these beautiful cars that would just be destroyed. Yeah, destroyed after 1 year. All right, let's do a little bit of so and such, which we've done many times, but a very important construction in English. As we say, you know the drill, the plate is too hot to handle, so... The plate is so hot I can't handle it. The plate is too hot to handle.
It was such...
The plate?
The plate was so...
No, present tense.
The plate is so hot that I can't handle it.
Such?
It is such a hot plate that I can't handle it.
Good, and now contract. It's
such a hot plate that I can't handle it.
Good. The man was very old. He couldn't walk.
He was such an old man that he couldn't walk.
And so?
The man is so old.
No, in this case, past tense.
The man was so old that he couldn't walk.
What's a nicer way of saying old?
Elderly. Elderly.
And what is an elder? In what church, in what Christian church will you find elders? No, the Mormons. You see these young guys walking around, okay. And they have elder. It says Elder Fitzgerald, for example.
Okay.
Yeah. The day is too cold for us to play golf.
The day is so cold that we can't play golf. It's such a cold day that we can't go play. We can't play golf.
Yeah, you needn't use a golf. Yeah. The runner is too slow to win the race.
He is such a slow runner that he can't win the race. He is so slow. Yeah, he is so slow that he can't win the race.
Yeah, the Berlin Marathon took place at the weekend. And this marathon, more than any other, is famous for setting records because the course is very flat. And so it very soon somebody's going to break the two-hour mark. There's a Kenyan, I can't remember his name, but he got down to, I think, 2 hours, 1 minute, 29. And sometime he had taken 30 seconds off his previous record, which is an incredible amount. When he was at the halfway point, they thought he's going to break 2 hours, but he was going so fast that he faded a little bit. But I went to Berlin many years ago with some of my friends. We used to do a thing every year. We would choose a European city that we would go. So I would go from Madrid, they would go from Cork. And so 1 year, a friend of ours was running, who's a very good runner, who's running the Berlin Marathon. And the other three of us went. But the other three of us were there to enjoy
not
ourselves.
Not for running.
No, for drinking.
Okay.
Right? So he said, okay. He said, I'll drink on Sunday night, but I will go to bed early on Friday. I'll go to bed early on Saturday. We had some food and dinner. We saw that Berlin's a beautiful city. And so the second night we were there, the three of us, the other guy was gone, the runner was gone to bed. We got into a taxi. A typical German taxi. Big man driving it. Big mustache. How do you say mustache?
Bigote.
Yeah. Classic Mercedes diesel taxi. And we said to him, we didn't speak any German, we said, take us to the best bar in Berlin. And this guy said,
you want the best bar or my favorite bar? And we said, oh, your favorite bar. We want your favorite bar. And he took us into the red light district. How do you say the red light district?
El de la, el distrito de la luz roja.
Yeah, I think it's Friedrichstrasse. And we were thinking, oh, what are we going to get here? And he stopped outside this bar and we went in. And this bar was like something you would find in the middle of the Irish countryside, in the middle of nowhere. There were dogs in there. You know, this was in 2 o'clock in the morning. The dogs were fighting. There was an old woman so drunk she was asleep on the counter. How do you say the counter?
La encimera.
And there was a guy having a fully fledged conversation with an ashtray. Talking to an ashtray. In fully, you know, animated conversation with an ashtray. The only music they had on the jukebox was Irish. So we thought, okay, all right.
We are home.
We're home. And this is in the middle of Berlin. And we went up to the counter and there was a little woman there. And we said, we were about to order drinks and she said, halt, stop. Where are you from? I said, we're Irish. Ah, then I will not serve you whiskey. Anything else? No whiskey. And I said, okay. I said, well, why? Because it makes you fight. And I said, okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay, yeah. 3 pints of good German beer. And this was in the middle of Berlin. And then eventually we started talking to the guy who was talking to the ashtray. And he, you know, he spoke some English. He said, ah, you're Irish. So you're a fisherman. And we said, no. He said, I thought all Irishmen were fishermen. And I said, no, why? He said, ah. I said, any Irish person I've met has worked on a trawler. What's a trawler? A trawler is a fishing boat that usually goes to sea and underneath it drags a net.
Okay.
Which is the verb to trawl. How do you say it in Spanish?
Like drag.
Yeah, okay. Trawl. T-R-A-W-L. And so he thought we were fishermen, but we said no, we're just ordinary people. All right, so let's continue. The exam is too long for me to finish on time.
The exam is so long that I can't finish it on time. It is such a long exam that I can't finish it on time.
Good. The steak is too tough for me to eat.
It is such a tough steak that I can't eat it. The steak is so tough that I can eat it.
Good. What's the common mistake in the pronunciation of steak in Spanish?
Stick.
Stick. Yeah. I'd like a stick, please. Un palo. Okay. The man is too fat to get into the car.
He is such a fat man that he can't fit into the car.
Fit. Well, get.
Get into the car. The man is so fat that he can't fit into the car.
Good. I know you get. Yeah. Get. Fit is right, but I want you to use get.
The man is so fat that he can't get into the car.
The movie was very bad. I left in the middle.
It was such a bad movie that I left in the middle. The movie was so bad that I left in the middle.
Good. And again, the last one.
The movie was so bad that I left in the middle.
Very good. One more time.
The movie was so bad that I left in the middle.
The meeting was very boring. I fell asleep.
It was such a boring meeting that I fell asleep. The meeting was so boring that I fell asleep.
Very good. What's the common mistake with fell asleep?
Fell, sleep.
Felt.
Oh, felt.
Felt, yeah. People are confused. Yeah. Feel and fall. Yeah, yeah. Ask me if I ever had a boring teacher.
Have you ever had a boring teacher?
I had a few. Not too many, I have to say. But I had a few. But I had one guy who was, I think he was, there was something wrong with this man. He was a psychopath. And I won't say his name, but just in case, you never know. But we called him, not to his face, we called him Beaker. Do you remember Beaker from The Muppet Show? Me, 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 yeah. Me, me. So he looked like him. And now the only thing, we behaved ourselves in his class perfectly because he had a reputation as a very violent man. We were talking about on the radio about this yesterday with Richard and Pablo. He was very violent. So we were afraid of him, but we said, okay, you know, you just keep out of trouble. And I think he had some sort of obsessive compulsive disorder. He would come to class. He was always impeccably dressed, which is, you know, maybe a good thing. He had a briefcase. How do you say briefcase?
Maletín.
And he would put the briefcase on the desk in front of us. There would be total silence. In English, we have the expression a cathedral silence, not a sound. Everyone would sit there without moving. He would put the briefcase on the desk and he would spend about a minute lining up the briefcase so that it was parallel. It was perfectly in the center of the desk and parallel to the sides. How do you say that in Spanish?
En paralelo a la mesa.
Then like, he would open it.
Maybe he had an OCD.
Oh, completely. Then he would open it and he would take out his pens one by one and line them up next to each other, spaced out evenly. And then he would take out his book. That's all that was in the briefcase. And his lunch. And this is how he taught. So we had geography books. It was a geography teacher. And I loved geography despite this bad teacher. And he knew none of our names, so he called us all son, hijo. And he would point at the guy, always the guy in the top. So he was facing the class in the guy to his right, the most extreme right. Son, read the first paragraph out loud. And everyone had the book open. Son would read the first paragraph. He would get to the end of the first paragraph. Very good. Son, next to him, always the same pattern. Read the next paragraph. So I was behind. So all I did was I just had my finger on the third paragraph. And I was, you know, daydreaming. How do you say daydreaming?
Soñando despierto.
Yeah. Just pretending, you know, looking straight ahead, pretending to be interested. And then I would hear, son, read the next paragraph. And I would read the next paragraph. And then the guy next to me would read the next paragraph. Now, the only thing that happened in that class was we used compasses for mathematics. How do you say that in Spanish?
Compás.
Yeah. So which had the sharp point. So as you were reading, the guy behind would be sticking you in your culo,
yeah,
in your ass, trying to make you laugh. So I'd be reading, is anything wrong, sir? No, no, sir. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. And that was the way he taught the class. And so the whole class consisted of about eight or nine people reading the paragraphs. And then he would say, now, that's it. And then for homework, he would make us write out what we had read, those paragraphs. And this man got paid a substantial, you know, he got paid good money to teach us, yeah. But so boring, it was actually fascinating. The suitcase was very heavy, I couldn't carry it.
It was such a heavy suitcase that I couldn't carry it. The suitcase was so heavy that I couldn't carry it.
The water was extremely cold, I couldn't swim in it.
It was such cold, wet water.
Oh, don't forget extremely.
It was such extremely water, cold water. It was such extremely cold water that I couldn't swim in it. The water was so extremely cold that I couldn't swim in it.
Very good. Russian is very difficult. It took me 5 years to learn it.
It is such a difficult language that it took me 5 years to learn it. Russian is so difficult that it took me 5 years to learn it.
Ask me if we teach Russian.
Do you teach Russian?
Yeah, by a lovely lady called Olga. Teaches Russian to one group of students in a company. Ask me where she's from.
Where is she from?
She's from St. Petersburg, which they call it St. Pete. Or Pete, I think they call it. Pete. Yeah, yeah. She was on the radio here one morning with us. The bed was very hard. I couldn't sleep on it.
It was such a hard bed that I couldn't sleep in it. On it?
Yeah, both. Continue. I'll explain. Both work.
It was such a hard bed that I couldn't sleep on it.
Yeah, now both work. So you might say, if you, for example, which some people do, especially in the summertime, if you go for a siesta in the afternoon and you lie on top of the bed clothes, how do you say bed clothes?
La ropa de cama.
Yeah, then you would say, I'm on it. And if you're under them, you're in it. Yeah. The man was very crazy. He played solitaire with only 25 cards.
It was such a... He was such a crazy man that he played solitaire with only 25 cards. The man was so crazy that he played solitaire with only 25 cards.
Yeah. Richard Vaughan told me a story one time, not in this office, but in not the very, very first one, but the second office he had after he set up Vaughan Systems down in Birkin de Núria. And he hired a new person. I don't know if they were working in reception or in some sort of administration, and they wore glasses. And he suspected this person was not doing very much work. And they had, you know, basic computers at the time. And he walked past one day. How are you doing? So the person was facing him and the computer was facing her and he was behind the computer. And she said, oh, I'm very busy. He said, yeah, do you enjoy playing solitaire? And she looked at him and she said, how do you know I'm playing solitaire? He said, I can see it in your glasses.
Yeah.
So... The day was beautiful. I decided to take a walk.
It was such a beautiful day that I decided to take a walk. It was such a beautiful day that I decided to take a walk.
So?
The day was so beautiful that I decided to take a walk.
Say walk for me again.
Walk.
Walk. Yeah, yeah. Very good, very good. The course was difficult. I didn't pass it.
It was such a difficult course that I didn't pass it. The course was so difficult that I didn't pass it.
Good. What's a common mistake in the pronunciation of course?
Course.
Course. Yeah, course. Okay, let's do a little bit of practice with, let's finish off, let's review that vocabulary list we did earlier, and we'll finish it off this time. Acústica.
Acoustics.
Valoración.
Appraisal.
Or?
Appraisal. Assessment.
Good. Célula.
Cell.
Very good. What do they call mobile phones in the States?
Cell phones.
Yeah. Galleta.
Biscuit or cookie.
Very good. If someone said to you, well, that's the way the cookie crumbles, what does it mean?
It is the way it is.
That's the way it is. Yeah. Mm. Profundidad.
Depth.
Very good. What does empty vessels make most noise mean? Empty vessels make most noise.
No idea.
People of poor character are the ones who make the most noise. They talk a lot. Yeah. People are always shouting, complaining.
Mm.
And then what does this mean? Still waters run deep.
Que las aguas profundas... corren.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the person who doesn't say much is probably getting on with the job. This apparently was a feature of ancient Sparta. In their parliaments, in their meetings, the person who shouted loudest was deemed the winner. Which, of course, is a terrible mistake. And Sparta fell. Punto fuerte.
Strong point.
Or?
Strength point.
One word.
Point.
Think of fuerte. Translate fuerte literally.
Strong. No.
Literally.
Fourth point. Forte.
Yeah. Which I think must be Italian. Agradable.
Pleasant.
Or in?
Enjoyable.
Vivienda.
Dwelling or housing.
Good. Question a debatir.
Issue.
Good. What do you call a tissue in the United States?
Kleenex or a handkerchief.
Very good. What do you call a vacuum cleaner in Britain and Ireland?
Hoover.
Very good. Pulmones.
Lungs.
Very good. Búho.
Owl.
Good. What is the owl famous for? What virtue?
For the brain.
Wisdom.
Ah, wisdom.
The wise old owl, yeah. Temerario o muy imprudente?
Reckless.
Yeah. Barco de vela, one word.
Sailboat.
Very good. Escopeta.
Shotgun.
Good. Patrocinador.
Sponsor.
Very good. Camiseta.
T-shirt.
Pura sangre.
Thoroughbred.
Very good, very good. And what's a blue blood?
Royal blood.
Yeah, or maybe you'd say, you know, wow. Like somebody who's really, really, really good at what they do. Ask me if I'm a royalist.
Are you a royalist?
No, not at all. I get the romance of it, and you know, and it's, I think it's sometimes quite beautiful, but no. Traicionar.
To betray.
Very good. And what's your memory hook?
Be and tray.
Yeah. Be and bandeja. Merecer.
To deserve.
Very good. And what are, this is another reason to think of it, you would say, he got his just desserts. What does it mean? He got what he deserved.
Okay.
It can be positive, it can be negative. He got his, that guy, well, he got his just desserts. For some reason, it's typically more negative than positive. It's like, ha.
We usually are more negative than positive.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something I say to my colleagues here. Spanish people, man, they can be very pessimistic and focus on the... I mean, I don't mean to insult all of our listeners, but like seriously, you have a wonderful country. They say the same a little bit about the French. They say about France. France is a paradise that every French person is miserable to live in. Right? It's not as bad here, but you know, you have the best, I would say the best public health system in Europe. One of, at least. Great food. Great infrastructure. The best roads. Best railways. Great weather.
Great people.
Great people. Great food.
Yeah.
And people... Joder, ¿qué tal? Pues el lunes, tío. My God. Cheer up. Come on. Not everybody, but it's, you know, it's there. Mantenerse con el ritmo.
To keep up with.
Very good. And what does keeping up with the Joneses mean?
That you follow their story.
Yeah, people who, yes, and people, maybe your neighbors of yours, you know, you say, woof,
They got a new car. I've got to get a new car too to keep up with the Joneses. So Jones is one of the most common, traditionally, it's changing now, English surnames. Predicar.
To preach.
Yes. And if I tell you, you're preaching to the converted, what does that mean?
That you are giving a wrong message.
More, you're telling me something, but I completely agree with you. I say, don't, come on, you're preaching to the converted. I know, I agree with you. Okay. You know, preach that to another person. Sospechar algo.
To smell a rat.
Very good. And in the world of the mafia, what is a rat?
A rat is a betrayal person.
Yeah, you saw this in a lot of the films. When they killed them, this is nasty. I hope no one's having their breakfast listening to this because of the fish and chips and this. They would put a rat in their mouth when they were dead. Yeah, yeah, nasty business. And in Godfather 1, Luca Brasi was murdered. He was a close associate of the Godfather. And they got a message. The message was a fish wrapped in paper. And one of the younger guys said, what does that mean? It means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes. Meaning they killed him and they put him in the river. Yeah. Cepillo de dientes.
Toothbrush.
Avispa.
Wasps.
Very good. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, still, it's Wednesday. Maybe the last day you can sign up for the Weekend Masters. You want to solve your English problem? That's the one. GrupoBagram.com 911-133-5833. Bye-bye.
Me pregunta el del chiringuito si quiero hacer kitesurf o wakeboard, o si prefiero tomarme un bitter cas antes. Me acaba de decir 5 palabras en inglés. Kite, que significa cometa. Surf, que es obviamente hacer surf, pero también significa oleaje. Wake, que es estela, en este caso la estela del barco. Board es tabla y bitter es amargo. Y justo antes, cuando le pregunté si